帅啊！I wonder what you're going to be wearing this Christmas. Have you got your Christmas jumpers prepared? I've noticed a few people coming in with Christmas jumpers. So anyone, hands up, anyone wearing a Christmas jumper? Yes, fantastic. Anyone, there's a lot of sparkles around this evening. There's a bit of glitz of glamour. And anyone got something special they're preparing for Christmas Day? Anyone? Yes, Veronica. It's one of those things that I've always, every year I get to Christmas, I think, I really should buy a Christmas jumper, or I should get something. And then I kind of think, I'm only going to wear it once or twice. And I kind of balk at the cost of buying something to wear Christmas. This year, I don't know whether it's because I'm getting old and I'm just losing all my inhibitions, I've bought a Christmas shirt. Oh, I know. I'm not wearing it this evening. I have had the usual abuse for wearing a suit this evening because I don't often look like this at Balney Chapel, I have to say. But I thought, special occasion, I'll dress up posh, put my suit on and my wedding shirt. And but I've gone the whole hog for Christmas Day. If you want to see it, you're going to have to come or have a look on social media. But it's a banger. It's a really good shirt, so I'm all prepared for my Christmas Day.
And sausage?
I'm not wearing a sausage, no. A banger, no. Ka-ching. She's here all week. Very good. It's not a Wolves banger. It's not a Wolves banger sausage, but it is a banging shirt, and you've got to come and watch it, see it. But it's that time of year where we do think about, well, what am I going to wear? You know, Christmas Day, we kind of think, I've got to wear something usually pretty ridiculous. But it's got to be kind of bright and shiny and reds and greens. And we kind of think about, well, what am I going to wear on Christmas Day? Well, just to be serious, just for a moment, there's another question we need to think about. Well, what am I going to wear? What will I be wearing on that day when the Bible says, I'll stand before God and give an account of my life? Because the Bible says one day, letter in the New Testament, book of Hebrews, written to Christians who were suffering persecution, and someone wrote this letter to encourage them and to remind them of things that were true. And one of the things that he reminded them of, he said, one day everyone will die and then you'll face judgment. So this life is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. And the Bible says one day we'll stand before a holy God, the holy God who created us and who loves us. And the bigger question is, well, what will I be wearing on that day? So wear what you like on Christmas Day, wear your birthday suit for all I care. What will you be wearing on that day where we stand before a holy God? And the first reading that we had from Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, you may have noticed, it was about people trying to clothe themselves. Adam and Eve, they had this beautiful, perfect relationship with God. And then one day they kind of decided, well, actually, we think we can do life better on our own. They were kind of tempted to think, well, maybe we don't need God in our lives. Maybe we can do life better on our own. And when they took that decision, as we learned in the reading, everything went catastrophically wrong. They'd lived with this kind of perfect innocence, this perfect relationship with God. And suddenly they're plunged into the misery of guilt and shame. Because suddenly they realize they're naked, their eyes are opened, and they know good and evil, but suddenly they also know guilt and shame. And they don't know what to do with it. And when God comes to find them, they hide. And what do they try and make? They try and make coverings for themselves, don't they? They find fig leaves and they make coverings for themselves, and it doesn't work because God sees through the covering and he still finds them. And they try and cover up what they've done and it doesn't work. And the reality is that ever since then, that's what we've been trying to do, because every single one of us in this room tonight, we've all experienced guilt and shame and we don't know what to do with it. So we try and cover it up. So every one of us in this room, we're all frauds because we're all pretending to be better than we know we are. This is illustrated by the lengths it now takes to buy Rudolph a carrot. I don't know about you. When my children were younger, the last duty that I performed, at usually about 2:30 in the morning on Christmas Day, having done endless carol services and a crib service and a midnight service, and then come home and finish wrapping all the stocking presents, and at about 2:30 in the morning, it will be my duty to put out the sherry and the mince pie for Father Christmas. Drank the sherry because by that time I really needed it. And then my last job was to chew the carrot and to spit carrot out on the doorstep, so that in the morning when the children woke up, we could take them out, we could open the front door, we go, look, Rudolph's been, he's eaten the carrot. I tell you, chewing a raw carrot at 2:30 in the morning does not have a lot to recommend it. But it's got harder to buy carrots for Rudolph. Have you noticed this? It used to be in the old days, you go to Sainsbury's and you just buy a carrot or several carrots, and then you'd weigh them, and then you'd chew up, and then there'd be a lovely cashier, and you'd have a little bit of banter while you were, and then you'd pay your money, and then you'd walk out. But it's not like that anymore, is it? Because now it's self-checkout. And the problem with self-checkout is we're not as good as we think we are. It used to be, do you remember a few years ago, Sainsbury introduced the weighing scales, and you took your carrots for Rudolph, and you put them in the weighing scales, and a little screen would light up with a selection of fruit and vegetables. And you'd see the carrot, and you'd tap on carrot, and it would print a label for carrots, and you'd put that on your carrots, and then you'd go and pay, and then you'd walk out. And then they discovered that a lot of very expensive fruit and veg was going missing. Because certain people, and I'm sure no one in this room ever did this, certain people, nice people in Haywards Heath, going to Sainsbury's, went to Sainsbury's, and they got very expensive fruit and vegetables, and they put them in the scales, and then when the pictures came up, they tapped on carrots, because carrots are cheap. And they bought one supermarket, sold more carrots than they'd ever had in stock. And they realised something's going on here, which is now when you go to Sainsbury's, you put the carrots in the weighing scale and you don't get to choose. The clever little scanner looks at what you've got in your, and it tells you you've bought carrots, and it prints the label for carrot. And it's because nice people like us, we're stealing fruit and vegetables and weighing everything as if they were carrots. We're not as good as we think we are. And then you get your label on your carrots, and then you go to the thing and you scan it. And then a little picture comes up, doesn't it? A little thing comes up and it says, oh, a colleague is coming to help. Just to make sure you haven't inadvertently put something in your bag that you haven't scanned just by accident. Because actually, we know from our algorithm, you're a big fat thief. And we're coming to get you. And then you have that kind of awkward little exchange where they kind of come over. And I do this thing, I kind of crack this little joke. I say, oh, I've hidden the whiskey at the bottom. And they go, oh, no, everyone says that, ha, ha, ha. And then I'm thinking, no, I really have. Because you are as embarrassed about this as I am. Because this is like rummaging through my underwear drawer. And you want to get it over with as quickly as possible. So there's no way you're going right to the bottom of the bag. You're just going to pull out six things from the top and the middle. And yes, I am going to steal your whiskey. Because after this experience, I'm going to need a stiff drink. Because then you finally get through that ordeal. And then you get your receipt. And you still can't get out because there are gates that you've got to open. You've already scanned your shopping. Now you've got to scan the receipt. And it never works, does it? And the person in front of you has done like a week's worth of shopping. They've got a receipt 2 feet long. And they hold the end of the receipt at the opposite end of where the barcode is. And they're flapping. Have you done it? They're flapping around trying to get the scanner to... It's like those of you of a certain age will remember Bernie the Bolt. Do you remember Ernie the Bolt? Just going to go fight. And it's like that. Like buying carrots for Rudolph is not a simple experience because we're not as good as we make out. None of us are as good as we make out. Which is why when we try and cover up our guilt and our shame and the things that we know that we've done wrong, we don't know what to do with them. And so we try and cover them up and we try and hide them. And it doesn't work. For Adam and Eve, they tried covering themselves up and it didn't work out. But did you see, towards the end of our first reading, We went on a little bit in Genesis chapter 3 and we read this. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. So they couldn't cover themselves up, but God made a covering for them. And how did he make a covering? Well, it's the very first sacrifice in the Bible. An animal was sacrificed in order to provide clothing, suitable clothing for Adam and Eve. And that first little sacrifice, that's that first line right at the beginning of the Bible, it points forward to the coming of Jesus. See, this is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about adequate clothing being provided for us so that on that day when we stand before a holy God, we will be suitably clothed. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that would be slain temple." So many of the carols that we sing are about a saviour coming into the world to rescue us from our sins. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, but looking forward to the time of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 61, when Jesus first begins to preach his first sermon in the synagogue at Capernaum, he chooses this passage from Isaiah 61, and it's all about the goodness of God and the rescue of God. And he says this, he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes." That's why Jesus came. That's what Christmas is all about. The goodness of God, the freedom of God that was won for us through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And just a few verses later in Isaiah 61, in verse 10, we read this: "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, and yet describing what Jesus was going to do, reflecting what God did way back for Adam and Eve, where they were struggling to clothe themselves. They were struggling to find forgiveness for what they knew they had done wrong. And God provided what they needed. "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Our last reading from Luke. This man called Simeon, who's prompted by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple at just the right time. And just by accident, he bumps into Mary and Joseph, who are taking the baby Jesus into the temple to offer the appropriate sacrifice for the safe delivery of a child. And what does Simeon say? He says, "Now you may dismiss your servant in peace. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. What's he seen? He's seen a tiny baby. That's what he's seen. He's seen a tiny baby being cradled in his mother's arms. And he knows, because God shows him in that moment, that he's looking on the Saviour of the world. And Mary is told in one of our other readings, a little after that reading, that that her heart would one day be broken because she would live to see her son Jesus on a cross. But that's what Simeon says: "My eyes have seen your salvation. Now I can go. Now I can die in peace." So the message that I want to share with you this evening is at Christmas time, as you look on this manger scene and you look at Jesus in the manger, what do your eyes see? Do your eyes see your salvation? Do your eyes see the one who can offer freedom? The one who can offer forgiveness? The one who can offer the promise, the certainty of eternal life? As I say, I have bought the shirt of shirts for Christmas Day. And I'll be wearing it with pride. But one day, I know I'm going to stand before the God who created me and the God who loves me. I was 17 years old when I discovered how much God loved me and what he'd done for me in his son Jesus. 17 years old. And since that day, I've known that one day I'll stand before him, a holy God, a righteous God. And I know that because of Jesus, on that day, I'll be clothed in a righteousness that I don't deserve and that I haven't earned, but that he gave me as a gift through his death on the cross. And on Christmas Day, the very best gift that we could possibly receive is the gift of those clothes of righteousness. But why wait till Christmas Day? I'm going to just lead us in a prayer this evening. And it may be a prayer that you want to echo in your own heart. And it's a prayer of invitation. It's a prayer simply to invite Jesus to clothe us today, tonight, with his righteousness, with his holiness. And when I take assemblies at school, I always say to the children when I finish the assembly with a prayer, if you like the prayer and you want to make it yours, then just say amen with me at the end, because that just means you agree. But if you don't want to say amen, well, you don't have to. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you like the prayer and you'd like to say amen at the end, say amen. But you don't have to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful time of year and for all that we get to enjoy. Time with friends and family, time to celebrate, time to party, time to buy and exchange gifts. Father, we thank you that at the heart of what we're celebrating is the most precious gift of all. Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to be born, to live, to die, and then to rise to new life. Father, I know that I have fallen short of your glory. I know that I have made mistakes, that I have sinned before you. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, to pay a penalty that I deserved so that I might be free. Father, I am sorry for my sin and wrongdoing and the things that I've got wrong and the people that I've hurt. And I ask your forgiveness. And I thank you for your forgiveness, which is sure and certain. Would you forgive me this evening? And would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.